Psalm 34, starting in verse 12. Verse 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We'll talk about our message here in just a second, but I want to definitely look at verse number 12 again. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, and seek peace and pursue it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the message tonight, Lord, that you laid on my heart. Lord, something that's been on my heart before, even, Lord, something that I've preached about before. But, Lord, during this time, to have it resurface in my Bible reading, Lord, to have these truths confirmed in my heart, Lord, I pray that the same would be for all of us in the room, Lord, that you would give me the right words to say, help me to say them as you want me to, but also help them to be heard as you want the listeners to hear. Lord, thank you for the Bible and the fact that it contains the true answers to, Lord, all the things that we need in life, and everything we can possibly think of that we would want is found here in your Word. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for life in Christ. And, Lord, thank you for sending us your Son to die on the cross for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read some couple things here first to you. And we'll notice a few of the words that we just read. And, of course, I think some of these you would find familiar. One of them goes like this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Sound familiar? Declaration of Independence, 1776. One of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, said this, God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis? A conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with His wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that His justice cannot sleep forever. So we see here a founding father who said, hey, listen, our life and our liberty come from one person, and that's God. And he realized that. And he also trembled for his nation, that the fact that some of those things have been removed in our country, even back then, and even more so today, if we really start thinking about it. And the fact that God is just ought to keep all of us on our toes, amen? And we ought to think about that real quick. And you know what? If we got what was just to us, we would all go to hell. We know that. We deserve that. Our sin does not deserve any type of mercy. But thank the Lord for the life He gave us in Jesus Christ, His Son. In fact, the same man, Thomas Jefferson, said, the doctrines of Jesus are simple and tend to all the happiness of man. I am going to grab three of those words he said and three of the words here. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Amen. And we know what they are. You know what they are. I know what they are. We all want these things. What are they? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those three things stated in our Declaration of Independence. But the truth is, before they were stated here, they were stated in God's Word. Very clearly stated in God's Word. And we're going to look at those three things. What does God's Word have to say about life, liberty, and happiness tonight? And you know what? I almost entitled the message, because it seems like when we listen to folks around us, when we listen to the world, when we listen to the news, try not to listen to the news, amen? But you know what? No matter what we listen to or hear from the Word, of people around us in our nation today, it seems like these self-evident, they put that word self-evident, like everybody should know that, these self-evident truths are not so self-evident anymore. In fact, every single one of those words, what is life, what is happiness, what is liberty, the world has been trying to twist those things ever since the founding of our nation. And we know who does that. We know it's the devil. We preached a few weeks ago on that kind of subject. I preached 2 weeks ago. And we've heard some great messages about our country and the liberties and freedoms that we have, and we're going to hear some more. But the truth is, the devil tries to twist these words. He tries to give you a different definition of liberty. You know, the devil's definition of liberty is do whatever you want. The devil tried to convince Adam and Eve that they would have eternal life, didn't he? Right away at the beginning. Hey, you can live forever. Neither one of the devil's definition of... You know what? The devil has a definition of happiness as well, doesn't he? He tries to put it on billboards. He tries to put it in advertisements. And those perceptions, those things that people see all the time as being, hey, here's how you can have a good life. Here's how you can be free. Here's how you can be happy. It's all a big marketing scheme by the best marketer in the world, and that's Satan. And so tonight we're going to look at what God's Word has to say against what Satan would offer you. And listen, young people, there's a lot of people in your life from the very young age, from a child, especially during those susceptible years as a teenager and a young adult, myself included. We are very susceptible, if we're not careful, to all the advertisements that give us these things, all the ways that we can get them. But you know what? The Bible is very clear on how you can have a good life, how you can be at liberty, and how you can be happy. And we're going to look at those three things tonight, life, liberty. Because I think, you know what, when we think about our founding fathers and we quote these documents, sometimes we forget how far removed we are from in our culture. I think we know that. But also, even back then, as you see, you know, there was guys worried back then that America was already ignoring the Bible in these areas. And, you know, let alone to go read, if you go read the sermons from this time, they, of course, when they were talking about during the Revolution time, those are some neat sermons to read. If you can make it through them, amen. They're usually 10 pages long and a lot of words, amen. But they are neat sermons to read, because that's what a lot of times sermons were done back then in the Revolutionary time, 1776. They were printed. They were distributed. A lot of times a guy would type it out and he would get up and he would read it. How many of you want me to read my sermon word for word right now? All right. Well, it won't be that long because it doesn't have that much to it. Amen. I'm kind of like the pitcher, you know. Here at Blessed Hope, you get pastor who hits it out of the ballpark every time, and sometimes I feel like the pitcher, you know, who has to go hit with the bases loaded. You know, he's really good at pitching, but when it comes to hitting the ball, oh man, it's up to me now. All right. That's how I feel every once in a while. I'm just being honest with you. When you get up behind a pulpit like this with a man of God like we have here, and it does. It makes you feel like the pitcher on the mound, and you're expected to hit it out of the park. But you know what? Listen, we serve a God who's great, and he's given this to me, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. So we're going to look at these three things. Go ahead and turn with me real quick to Revelation chapter 20. I won't have you turn to every verse that we're going to talk about, but let's hit these three areas: life, liberty, and happiness. The first thing we're going to talk about is your life. What does the Bible have to say about your life? Well, the first thing you need to settle in your life is your eternal life. And the Bible is very clear on that. I'll read you some verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Hey, listen, we're all going to live forever, one way or the other. But Revelation 20:10 says this: and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, young people, listen, especially you younger people, and listen, we just came from junior camp, and they heard the gospel almost every service. And listen, folks, if you're in here tonight, I look around the room, and I don't see anybody who I think is not saved. But I don't know, and I'm not God. And you know what? The first thing, you've got to get settled. Maybe you're not happy with your life. Maybe you do think that, hey, something has to change in my life. But you know what? That one thing, the world's trying to change too many things in their life. And they're not changing the one thing that matters, and that's, where are you going when you die? Who is your Savior? You see, we can change all the type. We can live positively, and we can change our thinking, and we can change our diet to go bigger or smaller, whichever one you feel like changing. And you know what? Listen, that's all good and well, and it helps some of your quality of life. But if you don't know where you're going when you die, that's the worst thing. You got to know that, listen, eternal life is going to happen for you. And you will either eternally live in heaven or eternally live in hell. And whoever is not found in that book of life, whoever it is who's not asked Jesus to be their Savior, you know what? Someday you're going to find out what this whole thing about eternal life really means. And I think we as Christians need to think about that, because that will help motivate us to give the gospel to other people. I don't think about it enough. I don't go to those verses in Revelation enough. Let's think about that, number one, in your life. Even the founding fathers, even the preachers for generations, you know what they're most concerned about? Your eternal life. Your eternal life. 1 John 5:13 says that we can know that we have eternal life. I think you know it. I think you could quote it. These things have I written unto you. That's the Bible, amen? That ye that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So one, there's eternal life, and it's happening whether you like it or not. You can know for sure you're saved, or you can find out too late that you weren't. And let's make sure we get that settled tonight. I want to put that out there for anybody in the room who's not sure that you're saved. There's an altar, and there's a time of prayer after the service. You talk to anybody in this room, and they'd be willing to give you the gospel. Number two, life is found in Christ. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Life is found in Christ. True life after salvation is found in Jesus Christ, abiding with Him, being like Him. I think we know that around here. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. I love that song. We were singing songs. New life in Christ, abundant and free. Boy, that's a good song to sing as a Christian. John 6:51. Did I tell you the verse number? Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give, I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You see, that goes back to that salvation. True life is found in Jesus, accepting Him as your Savior. And if you've never asked Him to be your Savior, that's something you need to do today. But you know what? It goes beyond that. It goes to an abiding in Christ, a walking with Christ, a learning from Him. You know, the best words, when we talked about those 2 weeks ago, I preached on the warning signs in the Bible, remember? And you know what? So many of them were given by Jesus. He's the one who so many times warned us about different things that were coming and happening. And listen, if we want to, as a Christian, have a life that's pleasing to the Lord, we've got to have it in Jesus. We've got to walk with Him each day. We've got to talk with Him each day. We've got to, you know, we can't just sing Jesus loves me, this I know. We've got to live that, amen? And it's, in fact, John 10, you're in John, go to there, John 10:28. Jesus talked a lot about giving life, because you know what? He was about ready to go give His life for the whole world. John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I love that verse of security. Hey, listen, you know what? Some people don't live a good Christian life because they're insecure in their salvation. They know, they remember they got saved. They kind of, you know what? Listen, hey, once you're saved, you're saved. If you can nail that down and you can remember the day and you can remember the time and you can put, you know what? There's something in your heart that can't be taken away. And you know what? If you don't have any of those things, boy, you better start checking through your salvation. I love the, you know, seven evidences of salvation, or a whole list of them, amen? And I love that. I love it. Hey, we need to get this matter of eternal security. You can't live a Christian life until you get that settled down. So, number one, eternal life. Life is found in Christ. Let's go to Proverbs now. Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs for just a little bit. So, we find eternal life is real. We find life in Christ. We also find life in God's Word. Life in God's Word. Proverbs 6:23. Proverbs is full. You know, if you can get up and read a proverb a day, it'd help you. That's what we're about ready to talk about in God's Word. Hey, listen, young people, maybe you're only 5 or 6 or 7. You're barely learning to read. Ask your mom and dad to get a list of verses for you to look up in your Bible. Go mark them down. You know what, parents? We can find simple, easy to read verses for our kids to read. Verses that would help them in their life. All right? And I'm just challenging myself as a dad. I've got young, you know, Richard's not in kindergarten yet. He's not quite there as far as reading on his own. But even when our kids grow up, hey, we need to help them in reading God's Word and mark out those verses. Get them a bookmark. I mean, mark them out, highlight them, whatever we got to do, because here it says God's Word is where we find life. Proverbs 6:23, for thy commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Hey, listen, God's Word is a lamp for us. It's a light for us. It's the way of life for us. We get up in the Christian school, and I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy Word, all right? And we talk about those things, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And listen, it'd be good for some of us adults to get up and every morning look at that Bible and say, Lord, can you let this be a lamp to my feet today? Would you let this be? Listen, I'm guilty of it, and I'm sure everybody in the room is. Not just walking with God, not just checking off our reading boxes, but I mean truly walking and saying, it would be good maybe if we wrote out the pledge to the Bible. And instead of saying it, if we lived it, hey, listen, you know what? God's word, life is found in the Bible. I start to have a rough life if I stop reading God's word. I do. And I know that anybody who's a Christian has the same thing. Listen, you start doing it on your own, it can work for a little while, but you got to have God's word. It doesn't work very long doing it on your own. You need God's help. Hey, listen, a blessed pattern for life is found in searching and following God's word. Proverbs 4, go to Proverbs 4, we're right there. Proverbs 4:22 and 4:13, two different verses. Let's read 4:13 first. Take fast hold of instruction. Boy, that's the word of God. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. And I know there's more implied there than just reading God's word. That would be preaching and teaching from the Bible. Hey, listen, when we hear certain things from men of God who stand behind a pulpit, we're supposed to take fast hold of that. That's my life. Hey, when's the last time we really thought about that? Is preaching and listening to the word of God my life? You know what? Hey, it's not just the preachers. I tell you, I'm guilty sometimes of, I read a lot. I read a lot. I actually listen to books a lot. I'll get on my mower and I'll plug in my safety. I got those little safety things that keep your ears safe, but they also, I can play music and things through them. And I'll listen to good Christian music through that. I'll listen to books, but you know what I really need to listen to the most? I need to listen to God's word and preaching. Those things will help me in my life, and it'll help you in your life. What are we listening to? Are we just, when you get in the car, do you only turn on the talk radio? Because that'll discourage you real fast, all right? Do you only turn on secular music or, you know what? Hey, praise God for a radio station down the road that I can turn on, and you know what? Hey, I can listen to good music. I can hear the word of God. I can hear it preached. I can hear it read. I can hear stories. Hey, I love that. That's great. That's a blessing. We ought to help. By the way, let's keep praying for those folks down the road. Brother Bethel Baptist Church and WYTJ, I love it. I'm thankful for it. Because you know what? Listen, I need that to have a life that would be pleasing to God. I need to keep, what are we letting into our life? What are we listening to? It says here, we're supposed to, did I read 22? Verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. The Proverbs is full of ways to have a good life, amen. That's why we ought to be reading Proverbs. So eternal life, life in Christ, life in God's word. Hey, the last thing about our life is that we should give life to others. We should help give life to others. As a Christian, go ahead and turn to Proverbs 11 real quick since we're in Proverbs. As a Christian, our goal should be to tell others about the life found through Jesus and to show by example the benefits of that life. Think of those two things. Not only are we supposed to tell people about how to have eternal life, we're also supposed to show them what that kind of life is like. And that's why it's so important that when I think about my life, I think about how does it look to other people? How do I enjoy my life? What am I doing to cause my life pain and hurt and wrong? Now listen, that stuff is going to come anyway in life. But the Bible's real clear that we can easily mess our life up or cause our life to not be what it should be. And he gives some pretty clear things on, hey, there's some simple things you need to keep doing if you're going to keep serving me and keep living for me. And so Proverbs 11:30 talks about these, the righteous and telling other people about Jesus. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. There's that command to go out and tell other people about. It's not only a command about soul winning, but it's also a command about being right with the Lord before you go soul winning. Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Boy, I'm glad that I'm in a path that doesn't lead to death, amen. If you're saved, you're on the right path. But listen, we also need to keep on that path, stay right, stay clean, so that other people, you know what? The Christian life is not boring. And sometimes the world thinks it's boring because they see how Christians live. You know, there's your walk talks louder than your talk talks and all that kind of stuff. But listen, what I do is more evident to they judge God and Jesus and salvation and Blessed Hope Baptist Church by the way I act. By what I say when my car's broken down at Bethel Baptist Church yesterday, all right? You know, and it wasn't broken down. It had some issues, but I fixed them, amen, and got down the road. But you know what? Listen, a man stopped by. And you know what? He immediately sized me up as whether or not I was a Christian or not. Okay? He even said so. He's like, it didn't take him long. He saw me out there working on the thing. He talked to me for a few seconds. He says, do you go to church here? I think you're a Christian. I said, no, but I go down to Blessed Hope Baptist Church down the road. And you know what? He even mentioned two other people from our church and said, you know good friends of mine. This person and this person. And this person and this person. Two couples in the church. And he said, some of the greatest, nicest people you'll ever meet. Hey, listen, you know why? Your talk and your walk and the way you live speaks volumes. You know what? And I asked the man if he was saved. And he said, yeah, I've talked to them about that. And I trust the Lord as my Savior. And, you know, and we left it at that. But you know what? I realized right then, my life and how I was reacting in that situation and every other people who I didn't even know affect the lost and the saved world both. Everybody who meets you is affected by how you act as a Christian. So, hey, listen, our way ought to be really obviously righteous. Because if people who are obviously righteous start sliding backwards, I mean, if all of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and if all the people who believe the book start going backwards, the world's never going to get saved. Okay? Because they're not going to want what we have. We're acting like them. And so we got to be careful about that. Hey, listen, I'll just give you one more verse. Giving life to others. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments. That's that action there. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates unto the city. Now, that's not a work salvation, but you know what? Listen, it is a goal to strive towards. Living a right, you know, Jesus says, hey, listen, in the end, there's either the saved or the unsaved, but also there's the righteous and the unrighteous. The unrighteous or the unsaved. And you know what? All of us, if we're saved, we are righteous in some way, right? We are. We're right. Our sin is taken and it's not filthy rags anymore. It's washed by Jesus' blood. We are righteous only by Jesus saving us, right? But you know what? There's more than just salvation after that, okay? There's living a Christian life. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus, amen? So that's how our life ought to be. Lived like Jesus. Lived for Jesus. Hey, listen, how's your eternal life? How's your walk with Jesus? How's your life in Christ? How's your life in God's Word? Are we trying to get that into our life? Then how's your giving it to others? Are you giving that stuff that you just learned? Hey, you know, you remember the day you got saved, and you remember the day that you truly first started walking with Jesus. You remember that day? It was more than just the day you got saved, but the day that you really realized, boy, Jesus is more than just a Savior to me. He's a whole lot more. And you know what? You should still be, no matter how far along as a Christian, I should still be, every day there's more to find out about Jesus, okay? I mean, there is. I find out one thing, and a week later, I find out he's also merciful because I'm still a sinner, amen? And you know what? It just keeps going on. But listen, when's the last time you really thought about that? Hey, how about his word? When's the last time we made sure that God's word was in our life? I mean, filling it, because we need to fill, right now more than ever, we need to fill our life with God's word. I need to. I need it. What about preaching? What about reading it? What about listening to it? Everything we can do to get God's wisdom and word into my life. I want to do it, all right? Number two, how about your liberty? Boy, this one's hot on everybody's mind right now. My liberties are being taken away, all right, is what the world says. I mean, you got some people that say and vice versa. But you know what? That's a worldly definition of liberty. Let's find out what God has to say about it, okay? Let's go to Galatians 5:1. These unalienable... These unalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. What are they? Well, we found out what life was. Let's look at our liberty real quick. The first liberty we need is Galatians 5:1. It's the liberty from sin's bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hey, listen, the first liberty you can ever find and have a great life is, number one, being saved. And getting that yoke of bondage taken off. But you know what? We find this feeling more than once in our life. Our first feeling of true liberty comes on the day we got saved. That's the best feeling in the whole world. But you know what? It can reoccur every time we take the sin that we still commit and we ask Jesus forgiveness for it. And we take it to the Lord. Because listen, you know what? The bondage, the yoke, the penalty of sin is no longer there in the same way it was because we're saved. But you know what? Even as a Christian, I can start heaping up all kinds of yoke of sin on top of me. I can heap up that bondage of sin in my life. And it helps if you go, he says right there, you need as a Christian to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, us free. He's already freed you from sin. Why do we keep heaping it on in our life? Why do we keep a long account with the Lord, right? Okay, you talk about with children in junior church, we talk about keeping a short list, a short account with God. And you listen, parents, you do the same thing. You want your kids to keep a short account with you. Hey, don't keep, you know, the longer you lie about something, the bigger it gets, right? The longer you put something off, the more dangerous it becomes. The same thing with sin in our life. The longer we let it heap up, there's Christians who've been going to church for decades, and they may confess every other sin but this one. And this one is the one that is keeping them in bondage. Hey, listen, I don't know what it is in your life. I do know what it's been in mine, and I do know that when my list starts getting this big, I have a problem. And it's because I'm not standing fast in that liberty that God gave me. Boy, he wants, listen, part of being a Christian is being free from sin. And we need to stay that way. Hey, listen, Romans 8:21, because the creature also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Talked about being saved. There's something special that happens at salvation into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hey, listen, if you're a child of God, you have great liberty. The world doesn't know what it means until they're saved. Hey, listen, American liberty is great, but the liberty God gives is the best. And the liberty that we can have when we confess our sins and forsake our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. Hey, that's great. That is liberty, amen? So, number one, the first liberty you need to have is being saved. And if even if you're saved, the bondage from sin. Because you know what? Hey, listen, myself and you and everybody in this room can let our sin, we can stack it up. In fact, there might be Paul calls it a besetting sin, right? In fact, think about that real quick. We're all running in a Christian race, aren't we? And I didn't study out that verse, but it talks about let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. You see, some of us are really good at laying aside the small weights. Easy sins. Oh man, I said something bad. Lord, forgive me. Oh man, I did that. I watched that movie. I shouldn't have watched that. Sorry, Lord. Okay? I said that to that person. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what those are? Weights. And we're setting them aside, aren't we? When we ask Jesus forgiveness, he sets them aside. We don't have to have them. But you know what? It also says the sin that so easily besets us. Hey, listen, we all have some things that we do not once or twice, but a regular thing. And you know what? Sometimes we don't confront them either. Pastor writes in his book about biblical masculinity, killing those giants in your life. Hey, young men, we've got some serious giants. And ladies, we've got some serious giants that the devil puts in your way. That until, if we're going to serve the Lord like we ought to, we've got to kill them. We've got to kill them. Get rid of that. Whatever it is, the big sin, the big thing. Maybe it's not even so... Well, you know what? That's the problem. We walk around saying, maybe it's not so bad. But you know what? All sin's bad in God's eyes. Regardless of what you and I might think of it, or what we might think of each other. You know, some of the worst ones are some of the most common. Pride, envy, jealousy, gossip. Okay? Let's lay them aside. Hey, lay them aside. All right? Number two. Liberty is found in God's law. We're going to go quickly through the rest of these. Talking about liberty. Liberty from sin's bondage. Liberty is found in God's law. We're going to go to James 1:25. We're going to stay in this for two of them. James 1:25 says this, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, I love that verse, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hey, the best law of liberty is God's word. There's a lot of laws about liberty. I'm thankful for those laws, right? You are too. We have the right, the Bill of Rights. I'm thankful for those rights. I'm thankful for those liberties. But the truth is, our founding fathers even said there are unalienable rights, things that they shouldn't be stated. But they are. We have 10 of them, and we have more of them, and we're thankful for those laws. But the problem with writing down a law sometimes is that you had to write it down in the first place. Because the truth is, we're all sinners, and that's where it comes down. We have to have law. We have to have it. I'm totally for it and behind it. You know why I'm behind it? Because most of those laws were founded on God's word and on the liberty that God gives us. And so when I see verses like this, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, there is more laws in here than man can come up with. All right? And maybe not even more, because man can come up with a lot of laws. All right? There's probably more man-made laws than there are in God's book. I'm just telling you, there probably are. But you know what? These are the ones that matter the most to me and you. And we ought to take heed to these laws, because these laws will give you liberty. It's the whole fence thing, you know, the little chihuahua behind the fence, and there's a pit bull on the other side, and the chihuahua looks at the fence and says, I just want to get out. You know? That's what they do, barking all the time. You ever met a chihuahua? They bark all the time. They don't stop. Okay? It's like the little kids, all right? You know, I just want to do this. And the person who built the fence did it on purpose to save the poor little chihuahua from getting eaten by the pit bull next door. That's just a good illustration of it, all right? God's got a lot of fences. We talked about those 2 weeks ago, didn't we? The fence that he built around the mountain, and he said, don't come over this way. And guess what? They still were going to go that way, so he told Moses to go back down the mountain and tell them again. Because you know why? We need those rules in our life, and we need them clearly stated. And I don't find anywhere a law that's clearer stated than God's. Man's laws are long and sometimes confusing, amen? But God's law is pretty clear on where we should and shouldn't go. All right? So liberty is found in freedom from sin. It's found in God's Word. It's found with the relationship in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. This one's interesting. Let me read this to you. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty, only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What does that have to do with this, Brother Young? 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord's is, there is liberty. The Lord's is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord's is, there is liberty. Hey, listen, young person, adults, if we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit in our heart. And you know what his job is? Making sure that you stay free from sin. And by making you stay free, he's telling you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And you know what? Those are sometimes, they're not the easy to find laws in the Bible that the Holy Spirit helps you with. He helps you with the ones when you have a question. Lord, should I really do this? And if you rely on the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you yes or no. He'll tell you. A preacher preached on it the other day in Sunday school. Talked about your conscience and the Holy Spirit, how they work together as a Christian. You know, your conscience teaches you right and wrong. That's why the world's condemned. But as soon as you're saved, your conscience now has its biggest helper ever, the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we as Christians, we sit there and we don't know, and should I do it, should I not? Do I have the liberty to do this? But you know what? A lot of times, you ever heard a preacher get up and say, God's given me liberty to preach on this subject. You ever heard that? You know what he's saying? The Holy Spirit told me I could say that. And that's pretty neat. If we as all of us, not just as preachers and staff and parents, but if all of us would start relying a little more on the Holy Spirit, we could live a very liberty and very free life. That liberty is found where the Spirit of God is. And then lastly, we already looked at it. You're there still, I think, in James 1:25. Liberty is found in doing exactly what God says. All right? It says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and what? Continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hey, listen, you know what? Some of the happiest people, some of the most free, some of the most living the best life are the people serving the Lord. Whatever capacity that might be. Maybe you work in a coal mine, but you know what? You serve the Lord with your life. And on all the times that you can, you crack open your Bible. You go out on a bus route. You knock on doors and invite people to come to church. You know what that is? That's living a life that is pleasing to God. Boy, every one of us wants life, a good life. We all want liberty to do what God wants us to do. We all want happiness. We didn't really touch on the happiness one. I'll touch on it real quick. Let me just tell you a couple things that happiness. You know what happiness is? It's really not anything you can grab a hold of. It's a byproduct of those two other things. You see, the world's trying to buy happiness. They're trying to grab happiness. They're trying to be happy for short amounts of time. And happiness is not that. We can't have true happiness. I'm talking about the biblical word, happy, all right? In fact, God gives some things. You know what? We can be happy as a child of God. Psalms 144 says this, Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. We ought to show that to people when they walk into church on Sunday. I think we do a good job of it. But you know what? You know, when we sit there and sing, happiness is, all right? And we sing those songs, you know, I'm happy today, I'm happy today. In Jesus Christ, I'm happy today because he's taken all my sins away. And that's why I'm happy today. You see, happiness is found in life and liberty by Jesus. And by doing these things we just talked about, happiness is a byproduct of living for the Lord. It really is. And you know what? When pastors get up and they look out at the crowd, and I know there are times of sorrow. I know there are times of heartache. Preachers going through the lessons on grief. And you know what? It is better sometimes to be in the house of mourning than the house of feasting, right? There is times of that in life. But the truth is, the world ought to see us as being people who serve the Lord, you know what? Happy people. And if I walk out into church and I see 10 people that are just grumpy, and they're grumpy every service, I want to look at them and say, is God your Lord? And I guess if we really think about it, sometimes people who are Christians even are grumpy because you know who's Lord of their life? Not God. All right? They are. And if you're the person in charge of your life, even if you're saved, you're going to be grumpy. All right? I think there are some young people. Listen, I've been here 5 years, and that's not a whole long time compared to some, but I've seen some younger people that I've taught in that Christian school, and they're not sitting here tonight. Okay? And you know what? A lot of them say, I'm happy. And then I look at their face and their life and the things that they do, and they're not. They're putting on something that's not true. What they really do is they try to be an advertisement for what the devil calls happiness. And the truth is, the Bible says here, happy is the people in whose God is the Lord. Hey, listen, there's happiness in being corrected. Well, that's a hard one for the young people to think about, all right? How many of you are happy and smiling when your dad corrects you? Yep, nope, not any of them, all right? But listen, you will be later when you realize what that was for. None of us are happy when we get corrected. Adults, we're not happy when we get corrected. I'm not a happy camper when I get corrected. Okay, I mean, I should be, and hopefully we don't throw a little temper tantrum cover it. There should be a maturity that comes with correction, amen? You know what? When God corrects me, I usually don't get all that mad at him, okay? I need that correction in my life, and I have the maturity to realize that. What we have is a nation full of people who can't stand that correction. You know, they're not happy. They're not happy. Hey, listen, there is happiness. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth, Job said. There's happiness in a good family. You know, the man says, Psalm says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Talks about his children. There's happiness with the family. There's happiness in wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Amen. There's happiness in mercy. He that despiseth his neighbor, this is a good one for today, sinneth. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Hey, listen, you know what? The people that I find in the world who... honestly, and I'm not talking about what's going on now about hate and all that kind of stuff. They don't know what that means, okay? But the people who are never helping or caring about, listen, the Bible says specifically the poor, they're usually not happy. They're hoarding it for themselves. But the Bible says specifically, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. You want to be happy? Go help somebody who needs something. Go help somebody who is maybe in your eyes, poor. You know, go help somebody who's in need. Go work on a bus route. That'll make you happy. And you know, I mean, work on it. I mean, go. You know what? I drove for bus 101, and I saw some kids who I see a lot at church, but I don't always see where they live. I like driving around and seeing where the kids live. You know why? First of all, it makes me thankful. But also, it makes me happy that I get to have a part in helping that young person. That makes me happy. And you know what? Hey, listen, folks, we need to help those around us in our town, in our community, in Jasonville, Linton, and everywhere else. Get out on a bus, and if you can't get on a bus, go out and, you know what? Hey, once in a while, ask a Sunday school teacher or a bus captain, who can I go visit and just give them something? Who needs something? All right? And you know what? Listen, I'll tell you, one of the things in my life is I struggled a long time with being a giving person, and I can't tell you I'm the best at it either, even now, okay? But I'm talking about just giving to folks when they don't deserve it or they need it or whatever. But that'll make you happy, amen? That's living a life like Jesus would, all right? Yeah, there's happiness in trust. He that trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. In yielding to the Lord, it makes you happy. I like this last verse, and we'll be done. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Hey, if we can get a vision for what we just talked about, life, liberty, and they said pursuit of happiness. And you know what the world is? They're trying to pursue happiness. But he said it right there that we're allowed to do that. Did you read Psalms? Let's go back to where we were. Psalms 12, I'll read it one more time. Or Psalms 34, 12. What man is he that desireth life? Everybody desires life. And loveth many days that he may see good. We all want to have a good life. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Here's it says, seek peace and pursue it. Pursue it. There's that word pursue again. All right. There's nothing wrong with pursuing the life that God has for you. But it has to be in the life that God gave you, and it has to be in the liberty that God gave you. And if you start stepping out of those definitions into the world's definitions, then you're not going to have a happy life. You're not going to have it. Happiness is a byproduct of a life and a liberty found in Jesus Christ and in serving him. Hey, listen, you know what? It even said there, here's a good formula for, and we'll be gone. In those verses, really, if you want to have a good life, you should speak right, do right, and seek right. It's pretty much what he said. He even said, keep your tongue from evil and don't talk bad and do right. Hey, listen, if you want to have liberty, you should read God's word and follow it. If you want to have happiness, it is a byproduct of serving the Lord. In all of those ways I just said, there's happiness in all those things. But you know what? There's people that don't see happiness in correction. They don't. You know why? They're not serving the Lord. They're not walking with him. They don't know him as their Savior. And even if they do, you know what? It comes from serving the Lord. Some people don't have happiness in their family. Some people don't get any happiness from learning wisdom in God's word. Some people don't have, they go out and they do, some people will leave here tonight, they'll go work on a bus route, and they'll knock on somebody's door and they'll give them something, and they'll come back if they could, and they would tell me, Brother Young, I'm not happy. Well, you know what? Let's go back to the beginning and examine those things we talked about. Are you saved? Do you walk with the Lord? Do you read his word? Do you tell other people about Jesus? Because man, if we're not doing those basic things, our life is not going to be as good as it needs to be. We're not going to have liberty like we should, and we definitely won't be happy. I am thankful for our nation. I'm thankful for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but I think we as Christians need to stop taking the world's definition and putting it into our life, because the happiness they offer is not what we want. The liberty that they offer is not what you should seek after, and the life that they provide is not what you want. We want all of those things in Jesus Christ and in his word. And I hope that was an encouragement, at least for us as Christians, to go out this week and think about it. Hey, let's think about how many ways we can get the Bible into our life this week. Let's think about how many ways we can tell other people about Jesus. Let's think about how many ways we can do all of those other things to cause happiness. You know what? Go back and listen to the message. Look up some verses. Don't listen to me. Go look up the word happy in the Bible, and let's just see how many different ways, you know, that can be. You want to pursue after happiness? Go look at what the Bible has to say about it. And you'll find that it's pretty much sums up to serving the Lord, doing what's right, and reading the Bible. Amen. And so let's do that this week. Let's go out and pray and win souls to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the message, the truth tonight. I thank you for the liberty in our nation. I thank you for the freedoms we have. But Lord, there will come a day, very soon maybe, and maybe in the future, that some of those man-made or written down laws might be forgotten or pushed aside. But God, thank you so much for your word that gives us life and liberty. And Lord, thank you for salvation, which is the cause of all that. I pray that tonight, if there's somebody not saved, that they'd trust you as Savior. And Lord, I do pray that even if they're saved, Lord, that we'd examine our life and make sure that we have a short account, a clean account with you. And Lord, that we would do everything we can to read your word and follow your commandments and do them this week. In Jesus' name, amen.